AXT in Kodiak, this is the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Kayla Darroche. Coming up this week, a disaster is declared, a meeting is held, and what could the new president mean for the future of the Pebble Mine Project? All that, and we meet a 100-year-old fisherman from Wrangell, coming up on the Alaska Fisheries Report.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.
Last week, the federal government declared the 2016 pink salmon season in the Gulf of Alaska a fishery disaster. Pink salmon harvests were poor across the board last year. For the Kodiak Management Area, for instance, fishermen pulled in 3.25 million pinks out of a forecasted 16.2 million. Other affected areas include Prince William Sound, the Chicnik Management Area, the Lower Cook Inlet Management Area, the Yakutat Area, the South Alaska Peninsula, and Southeast Alaska. The request for a disaster declaration began with local government and from there traveled up to Governor Bill Walker, who wrote to the United States Secretary of Commerce, Penny Pritzker. After an evaluation from the National Marine Fisheries Service and the Alaska Department of Fish and Game, Pritzker found that the 2016 pink salmon season satisfied the fishery failure declaration requirements outlined under the Magnuson-Stevens Act. In her letter to the governor, she writes, "The National Marine Fisheries Service will work with the state of Alaska and the affected communities to form a spend plan." Kodiak Island Borough Manager Michael Powers commented on Kodiak's share of the relief funding at a Borough Assembly regular meeting last week.
Emergency declarations have a long process and a kind of somewhat complicated process. It will go to Congress for potential funding, and Congress will then potentially direct funding, and how they direct that varies with every emergency. But there's implications to projects that the city and the borough have done and are undertaking that could receive federal funding from that.
The Gulf of Alaska was one of nine other areas to be declared a fishery disaster. Two others are in California, and the remaining six are in Washington State.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard accepted hands-on safety training for all of Alaska's fishermen and their family. AMSEA at amsea.org or 907-747-3287.
The International Commission that oversees catches of halibut along the Pacific coast opened up a week-long meeting Monday. The International Pacific Halibut Commission is deciding catch limits, other proposed changes to management and season length in Victoria, British Columbia. U.S. Commissioner and Vice Chair Jim Balziger made some opening remarks at the start of the meeting Monday.
The way we apportion the resource to the various areas, it's been probably the subject of the most dissatisfaction on the U.S. side over the past couple of years, and so all the commissioners, I believe, on both sides are anxious to come to grips with that, find a harvest policy and apportionment method that works for everybody, that we can explain to the people that use the resource and make some progress on that.
Commercial fishermen in Southeast Alaska have been upset with the commission setting catch limits higher in British Columbia and not making similar allowances on this side of the border. Alaska commercial fish groups and businesses submitted a letter to the commission asking for a consistent harvest rate. Dan Falvey of the commercial fishing group Alaska Longline Fishermen's Association was among those signing the letter.
I think one of the comments in the letter that was presented from the Southeast groups was that we'd like to see a more even harvest rate across all of Area 2. In the last 3 years, one of the areas has definitely taken a much higher harvest rate, and I think that's been possible because all the other areas have been kept low. So one of our goals this year is to evaluate what Area 2 would look like with a more consistent harvest policy across the three subregions.
Scientists with the commission are reporting a steady, slow increase in the halibut stock coastwide. However, commercial fleets on the BC coast and Southeast Alaska both could be seeing cuts to their catch limits this year. Scientists have changed the way they interpret survey fishing for the valuable bottom fish and now think more of the halibut stocks are in the central Gulf of Alaska and waters of the western part of the state. BC fisherman Doug Maven told the commission that catches have been strong for the Canadian fleet.
Now, there isn't one Canadian guy that wants to take a fish away from the American guys. We don't want to be pitted against each other. It's not about that. The simple fact of the matter is that we have an abundance of fish in Canada, and we feel that we're being held back.
Among the different parts of the coast, Area 3A, the Central Gulf of Alaska, could be seeing the largest increase in catch limits in the upcoming year. Coastwide in 2016, just under 42 million pounds of halibut was landed in commercial and sport fisheries and as bycatch in fisheries targeting other species. Northern Dynasty expects to resolve its dispute with the EPA over the pebble prospect within the first 100 days of the Trump administration. Bloomberg Markets, which interviewed Northern Dynasty CEO Ronald Thiessen this week, Thiessen also told the news service that his company is looking for a partner to proceed to permitting for the Southwest Alaska mine. He estimated the permitting process would take 4 years and $150 million. The project could unearth billions of dollars worth of copper and gold. Opponents say it would threaten the headwaters of Bristol Bay and its rich salmon runs.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by AK Teach, now enrolling K through 12 homeschool students throughout the state of Alaska, creating partnerships that are flexible, family-friendly, and unique to your child. More information is available at AK Teach or at 907-942-0667.
Every year, there's concern about the graying of the fleet in Alaska's commercial fisheries, where there are fewer and fewer replacements for elder fishermen. Well, it could take nearly half a dozen young fishermen to replace the experience of 100-year-old Lawrence Bohovic of Wrangell. KSTK's Aaron Bolton spoke with him.
Just want to start by saying your name, where you're from, where you live now, and your age.
Yeah, Lawrence Bohovic, born in Chicago, January 4th, 1917. Anything else?
And then where you live now, and then your age?
Well, I'm 100 right now, so they should be able to figure that out in a hurry, born 1917. Well, after college, I came here and I had to start making a living. So that was the first thing I thought of. Well, I had to go fishing, find a job fishing. So that's when we decided to build, three of us build a little boat, a little seine boat. Three guys, we got it built, and we did pretty good with that little boat.
And what was the other guy's name that was on the boat with you guys?
Lloyd Benjamin and Warren Gartley. Gartley was quite a family here at one time. I think they were involved in the sawmill. They had that big home up here on the hill.
Did you guys do pretty well fishing?
Yeah, fully, all illegal, most of it. We done real well. We went halibut fishing and seining, and then of course we expanded after I got the boat and sold it and got a bigger one.
What was the name of the bigger boat?
Well, when I first bought it, or first got a hold of it, was two letters, XL. And then we changed it to my wife's favorite niece, Aurora Marie. So that's the name of it yet. It's right there in the lower picture there.
Okay. And how big was it?
Yeah, I think it was 54 or something like 52, 54 feet. It was nice, really a wonderful boat. I done a lot of the work on it. I done all, hooked up the engine, done all the electrical work on it. Put in hot and cold running water. And a lot of things I learned, had to learn to read about to make it work. But it was a really nice boat. In its time, I think we were one of the first boats to own a power block. This is a power block that's in the rigging and hauls in the net. I think we were one of the first boats to buy one of those.
And I was told of a story where you caught too much fish down by Annan.
Oh, we were arrested there because there was 10 million fish out in front of the bay there. And I don't know, there were several boats that went in there inside. They call it inside the markers. There's markers that you were supposed to stay out of. But there were several of us along with us snuck in there in the middle of the night, made sets. But the Fish and Wildlife come along and breasted, I don't know how many boats that night, it's three or four. So we got picked up a couple of times. But the judge he must have liked us. He only charged us a little bit, $25, $50 or something fine. And we could go right back out again, probably the same place.
And was that common to do things like that back in the day for
fishing? That's the only way we fished, is robbing cricks, they called it. But we never after the Alaska turned to a state, they outlawed the traps. If you know anything about the traps, they were all over the southeast Alaska, and they were just draining the fish away. After they put them out of business. You couldn't own a trap anymore. We turned legal. I never made an illegal set after that. So it turned out good then. Never got arrested anymore.
And how long did you fish for?
Up until I retired, 1992. Yeah, I fell off the boat when the boat was in the boat shop, and that was the first year I didn't fish. I got hurt, and another guy had to take the boat out for me. And that was one of the years I missed.
Was fishing pretty good for as far as a career during that time?
Yeah, fishing was fairly good. We had one or two bum seasons early on, but later on it got better and better because it was controlled better then. Traps went out, and it got to be pretty good.
And when did it start to get better after the traps went away? Do you know a year?
Yeah, it was 5 or 6 years after, the fish built up. It took a little while.
Do you know what year the traps went away?
59, when we became a state.
That was KSTK's Aaron Bolton speaking with Wrangell's Lawrence Bohovic about his lifetime of fishing in southeast Alaska. He turned 100 earlier this month.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Boats and Permits, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs. 1-800-992-4960 or online at alaskaboat.com.
And that's all for this week's Alaska Fisheries Report. We had help from KFSK's Joe Vicnicki in Petersburg, APRN's Liz Ruskin in Washington, D.C., and KSTK's Aaron Bolton in Wrangell. From KMXT in Kodiak, I'm Kayla DeRoche.